Last night, Joe and I watched an episode from The Chosen. We just started watching this a week ago, and we're in season two now. And there's a scene there where Jesus is talking to John, and in that story is John, the writer of the gospel. And they were in Samaria, and they had been invited to the synagogue, which, you know, is really very interesting because, you know, Jews and Samaritans didn't get along, and there was a lot of tension going on. But the rabbi invited them to come to the synagogue and invited Jesus, who is a rabbi, to read a scripture passage in the synagogue. Now, the Samaritans, and this is made clear in this story, the Samaritans only accept five books of the Bible, of the old, what we call the Old Testament. They only accept five, the first five. So Jesus and John are talking about, well, what should I read in the synagogue? What Bible verse should I read? And it was interesting because these verses that we read, as Leslie and I decided that the theme would be light and darkness because it's the Epiphany season, I went through and found a bunch of verses that I like to call a mosaic and put them together. And it that felt like that's what John and Jesus were doing. What should we talk about in the synagogue? And they ended up right back at the beginning. And Genesis chapter 1, and that's what Jesus read. And God said, let there be light. These are the first words of God that are spoken in Scripture. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the dark. Light is a powerful symbol for the ancients, but it was far more than the light that our eyes see. When the ancients spoke about light, there is a divine nature to light. Light is of God. Light is a symbol of all that's good and all that's holy. Darkness is a symbol of all that's bad and evil. So God separated the light from the darkness, as the passage says, separating them. Light, we get to choose light or choose darkness. That's what Jesus is asking us to do, to choose light or choose darkness. It's a symbol. It's not literal, because evil can happen in the light. Evil can happen in the daytime. Good things can happen in the dark. Holy things take place in the dark, in the darkness of night. For example, we do the homeless shelter. That takes place at night. And there's a mixture with that. As you know, if you've volunteered at the homeless shelter, you know that sometimes it's stressful and there can be problems and darkness can arise. But in all my experience of the homeless shelter, for example, the darkness, and this is what we believe as Christians, the darkness does not overpower the light. That's what we believe. Now, for tomorrow's sermon, the sermon tomorrow will be written, has been written by the youth. And Leslie has facilitated it, but it's really written by the youth. I consulted more like Leslie told me a few things that are going on, and I watched it evolve. In fact, as I was talking to Joe on the phone on the way here, I compared my process to what Leslie was doing. It was you know, very interesting, because she started out with one whole thing. Well, that ended up to a whole nother thing as it progressed. And that's the way God's light works. It grows in us, and it changes us, and it causes us to think about what is good and what is holy. Now, I haven't heard the sermon yet. And I did help put the PowerPoint together. So I have an idea of what's going on. And again, Leslie has shared with me. And as I said, that bright light is there. But I can tell you this, that because of my belief in God's light, I believe that light was shining on that process, on the process of the youth putting together a sermon. It's going to be their sermon. So I encourage you, if you can, to get online and watch that tomorrow. It'll be available even after, if you're not on at 10 o'clock tomorrow, it's available online. But I heard this about the sermon tomorrow. Again, Leslie shared this with me, that as the sermon is coming to an end, darkness is lifted up. The darkness of the crucifixion of Jesus, the darkness of the cross. And that becomes transformed. Does darkness overpower? Does death win? No. Darkness cannot be overcome by the light, because what follows the crucifixion is the light of the resurrection, the light of forgiveness, the light of God's love. And that's where we live, in the resurrection. So this is what Jesus came to bring to us, light in the midst of the darkness of the world. And the world has darkness. There's evil, certainly. There's storms. Some people, it appears in the South, are going to end up without light in their homes, without electricity for a while because of the ice that's being threatened. And they're going to have chaos in places. And then when you look at society and the world, there's division amongst people. People fight and people are opposed to each other, and people hurt each other, and people cause harm to one another. But we believe this, that whatever darkness there is, whatever evil, whatever chaos, they cannot overcome the light. The light will always shine. If you have two rooms in total darkness, and then you come into this room and you put a light on, just in this room only, so you've got a dark room and you've got a light room. But the light from this room, if they're next to each other and there's a window, is going to spread into that darkness. The light will always win. And the light will overpower the darkness. And so that's true with the evil and the chaos, the sin and the division. Light will come in. And I love this graphic that Leslie's used. Is you know, at the center, let there be light, but that spreads outward. Look at how that spreads outward. And that's what God wants of us. In the Mosaic reading, one of the things that jumped out at me as I was working on this sermon, as I was thinking about that episode of The Chosen, I never selected the verse, let there be light. I thought, oh, light, what a missed opportunity. The first words that God spoke, let there be light. Trust me, that will be mentioned at some place tomorrow. And of course, the first words of the sermon title, let there be light. Those are the first words of God. But in the Mosaic, something that jumped out at me as I was working on what we talk about this evening is that in Matthew's account, Jesus says to the disciples, you are the light of the world. And Jesus is telling anyone who would follow him that you go out and you need to spread that light into your world. And you need to bring the message of good news and love and hope and kindness and compassion and forgiveness into the world. But in John's account, in another place, Jesus says of himself, I am the light of the world. Both of those can be true at the same time. In fact, the only way that we can be a light to the world is what Jesus says, as recorded by John. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world, he says to us. And the only way we can be a light of the world is because Jesus himself is the light of the world. And Jesus came to bring his light into the world. And we, as the church, as disciples, are called to bring that light. We need to hold on to the faith that the light wins. the light of the resurrection is more powerful than any darkness, than any evil, than any chaos. And we need to bring that light. Sometimes that's hard to do when you're confronted with darkness. Sometimes it's very hard to let the light shine. That is our calling. So let us pray. As I usually do, bring to darkness, bring into your mind any darkness in your life. And think about the evil in the world, the division. What comes to your mind? The wars or the terror? What do you think about when you think of the world, the problems we have? Think about the storms and those people who are facing some rough times in the next several days. Think about the chaos that people go through that cause darkness and stress and anxiety and sin. Think about whatever comes to your mind. You know, lift these up and think about these really difficult moments. And then for each one of these, hear the voice of God. Let there be light. For each moment of darkness, listen to God's voice. Let there be light. For the chaos, listen to God. Let there be light. For the storms about to come, God speaks over them. Let there be light. And there will be servants, and there will be those who will help in those times, and for them we give thanks. Because God says to those helpers, let there be light. Let there be light. That might be a good mantra for us, a good saying for us on a regular basis, let there be light. You know, first words of God, maybe that would be good to wake up in the morning and let those be our first words. Let there be light.